If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. This morning I'll be speaking to you about belonging to God's church and what it means to be God's people on earth, God's church, God's best hope, matter of fact, His last hope for this world we live in. And His message is proclaimed throughout the ministry and the local New Testament churches. Churches like the first century that we'll read about in Acts chapter 2, we can discover there the very beginning of church, pattern for what our church, as well as every church, should be. Because in every church, as we all know, are people of all types of backgrounds and all types of personalities. There was this old preacher, he was dying, and so he sent a message for his doctor and his lawyer, to both who were church members, to come to his home. And when they arrived, they were ushered up to his bedroom. And as they entered his room, the preacher held out his hands and he motioned for them to sit on one on each side of his bed. And then once they did that, the preacher grasped their hands and he kind of sighed contentedly and he smiled up and started staring towards the ceiling. And for a time, no one said anything. Both the doctor and the lawyer were kind of touched and flattered at the same time that the preacher would ask them to be there for his last moments on this earth. But then they got to thinking and they were kind of puzzled. And they thought that the preacher really never had given them any indication that he particularly liked either one of them. And so they both remembered the many long and uncomfortable sermons about greed and covetousness that made them kind of squirm in their seats. And so finally the doctor said, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come?" And the old preacher, he kind of mustered up enough strength from his breath to say, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go too." Well, the church of Jesus Christ should be full of warm people and vivacious and enthusiastic people that are exciting and pulsating with spiritual life. Just a community of believers, a fellowship that we gather all with a kindred spirit of Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, some of us didn't grow up in churches that were really warm or vibrant or even missionary in their approach. I'm always grateful for the heritage that I had as a young child and as a teenager for those churches and young adult for those churches I attended, and the people in those churches who nurtured me from my pastors and other leaders who patterned for me the life of faith and the testimony of Jesus Christ. But so many people didn't have that privilege. They didn't have that privilege of growing up in a warm and vibrant congregation that cared. So many churches were kind of boring and bland and cool and kind of calculating and kind of monotonous in their tone. And they were kind of routine and predictable. And most of the members kind of spent their days looking at their watch, thinking how fast they could get out of that place. And as kids or as teenagers, and as soon as they got old enough, then some of them began getting out of the church in the 60s and 70s, 80s, and people began to walk away from their churches, and they said, "I'll never go back there. There was this crusty old church member that just let me have it," or "the church is irrelevant," or "it doesn't really relate to me and the things that I'm going to nowadays." And the reason being, probably, is so many people haven't seen a changed life themselves in church, or they've never seen any other lives around them changed. I remember, for me, my first witness of a person was in a change that I saw change was in college, and after I saw one of my classmates become transformed after he asked Christ into his life, he was so excited. I mean, he even taped scriptures up around his dorm, and I thought, that's unusual, because he had scriptures up in his dorm. I had a collection of beer cans up in mine. And I was attending church all the time, and it made a profound impact on me, to the point of which I examined my own life, and I examined my relationship with Christ. But if you're in a church where lives are being changed, if you're among a people, the church of Jesus Christ, where Christ is so real at times that you almost could feel that you could just almost reach out and touch Him. If you've ever been in a church like that, then you know what real church is all about. Let's look in our scripture today, beginning with Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, "So then, Those who had been received the word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe that many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together, and that all things had in common with each other. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all of those people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So real church is what's being seen here. Verse 41, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and about that day 3,000 souls were added to them." And then, of course, in verse 47, you read verse 47, and it describes the ministry of the church, the teaching, and the fellowship that was going on, the caring and sharing ministry of the church. And then the passage concludes with praising God and having favor with all his people. And it says, the Lord added continually, or to the church daily, those who were being saved. Now, that kind of interests me when I read in the New Testament that they were adding people to the congregation. And then later on, we discover, as we read in Acts, that they were multiplying as believers in Jesus Christ, and the church began growing, and they were adding. I don't know how they did it, but they said they baptized 3,000 people on that first day, and then somebody was there. Somebody recorded the names, or at least somebody took account. Somebody wrote it down, and somebody started the first church roll there in the city of Jerusalem, because they wanted to be accountable to one another. They were there, and they were the body of Christ. They were believers together, and so they were added to the church. In other words, these people joined the church. They were members of God's church. B.H. Carroll, who's a great Bible scholar from the Baptist denomination, suggests that according to his survey of the New Testament, that within the first 6 months of the church in Jerusalem, there were over 100,000 members in this congregation. That's a lot of believers, especially during the persecution of that time of the church. But they were members together. They were believing. They were belonging to a family of faith. Now, something is happening in modern-day America, a pattern among professing Christians that's kind of concerning. Because rather than church members, we've kind of turned into consumers, and we pick and choose churches, and we pick and choose cartons of milk, or pick and choose the cereal we want. And they move from one church to another, or they shop over here, they shop over there, they kind of become church hoppers. And there's really no attachment to the local church. There's no real sense of belonging to a local congregation. There's no priority of obligation and responsibility of the church. And many go to church today if the church meets their needs. And if that particular church doesn't meet their needs, then they go down and shop at another church that maybe meet their needs there. But there's no real involvement and the people are kind of free-floating. They're here and they're there. They're going to this group Bible study. They're going to that Bible study over at this place. And this Bible study here really talks about what I want to hear, so they go to that group Bible study. They make no real commitment. And then as a result, they miss out on one of the great blessings of faith. We don't join a church just because of the social opportunities that a church may offer, or maybe what our parents may be told of, or what they did, or how they believed. Why join a local church? Because it's a priority that it's given to us as believers in Christ. Because in the book of Acts, we can see that those first church members knew that they were responsible to each other. I'm not talking about judging each other to catch see if they did something wrong, but they were responsible to each other. And this formed out the way they lived their newfound faith. In fact, back then, the survival of the church depended on their commitment and accountability to one another. In the same way today, we should be no less committed or accountable to each other. Because God has given His church as the divine mission. And like I said earlier, the church is this last hope for this world that we live in. And it's our responsibility, just as the New Testament and the churches everywhere, to proclaim the message of salvation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants you to have a sense of priority and responsibility in your church in helping to do that. Because it's the local church where we come to celebrate our shared mission. And the fellowship of the Spirit of Christ that we share together through our singing that we just did is lifting up songs to Him and hear the Word preached and hear the fellowship and encouragement of one another and praying with one another. And as a united body of believers, we do more than just simply advance a certain cause. We share the message of God to a lost and broken world. We advance the kingdom of God on this earth as we know it. And so Jesus wants us in a local church. And He's not looking for spectators, or He's looking for soldiers in the army of God as servants of the living Christ. Not looking for just mere joiners, people that'll join up with a church just for it's the thing to do, but for people who choose together to be God's church in this generation until He returns. Where are the members of God's churches today? Have a lot of empty seats out there. Well, they're everywhere. But in the New Testament, coming to Christ always resulted in people coming into a congregation. Coming into the congregation of the New Testament church, always, without exception. Because that's where they got their strength. To be a member of faithfulness and a testimony to Jesus Christ and belonging to the church of Jesus Christ was the very heart of Christian faith. Now, I'm not talking about churchianity, meaning that you're not saved or you don't go to heaven if you don't join a church or a part of a church. But rather, when you're born again, and when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as a believer in Christ, that's when you find church and become connected to a local group. Pastor Adam spoke last week about God wanting us to grow, or God desires growth. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, it spoke about putting on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and putting up with each other even when we don't feel like it, or even when that person may not deserve it. But instead put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Belonging to the church is just the first step. And the priority commitment of a believer in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus loves His church. And just like the song we sang, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." He loves His church. He loves His people. Because the church is the bride of Christ. And it's the object of His love. His divine love. And so when it says in the New Testament that they were adding to the church and the church multiplied, this means that the people were becoming committed to coming or attending a congregation. Now I understand that from time to time the Bible talks about the worldwide invisible body of Christ and all the believers everywhere around the world that are unified and ultimately gather around the throne of God. But for every one time in the New Testament that the Scripture speaks of that invisible and intangible body of Christ, 25 times it speaks of the local New Testament churches who are local and visible and expressions of the body of Christ and in the communities. Caring communities. Biblically functioning communities. Like here in the book of Acts we just read, that carry out the mission of Christ. And so we're to be accountable to one another. Did you know that the Bible tells us pastors that we pastors are accountable for the members of the church? And rightly so. But it's getting more and more difficult to be accountable to members when we don't even know where the members are. Or we don't even know who the members are. when the members really don't line up and join, or they don't become involved and connected to the church. Because we're all going to give an account to one another before God, and because we are responsible as the body of Christ. So why should we belong to a church? Why should we belong to God's church? I want to answer that question today. And that is, why belong to the church? Why join a church? Number one, I think why join the church is obedience. Let's just start right there. Jesus in his great commission, our commander in chief, said in the last chapter, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, to go out into the world, to preach the gospel, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And also in John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So first and foremost, as a matter of loving obedience to Christ, we are to be a part of the family of God. As a matter of Christian obedience, doing it God's way instead of the way we think we ought to do it, or the way I think the church needs to be done. I mean, if you're looking for the perfect church, as one guy said, then don't join it, because you'll mess it up every time. Because there's no perfect Christians, would you agree? There's no perfect Christians, therefore, there's no perfect churches. But as a matter of obedience, find yourself, join yourself, along with your family, to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And that's the second reason I want to mention, is fellowship. Fellowship is that shared faith. Fellowship isn't just coffee and donuts after Bible study on Sunday mornings. Fellowship is the commonality we have of faith and of life and of loving together. It's our partnership. It's our participation together. It's our fellowship with God's Son. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 reads, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a matter of some do, and all the more, so much more, he says, as you see the day approaching. The closer we get to the coming again of Jesus Christ, the closer we get to the day of the final judgment. And how more important it is that we strongly encourage one another, and urge one another, and challenge one another in Christ to grow, to become more like the character of Christ to those who are around us. I'll go ahead and throw this in, that if you are absent yourself consistently from the fellowship of your church, of the local church, if you aren't visibly and vitally connected to the local church, then the scripture that we just read in Hebrews said it's wrong and that it's sinful. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I mean, there's not anybody that loves to watch sports or football, baseball, about most any kind of ball. I'll watch it with you. It's fun. I enjoy it. But how can we invest our time watching the things that'll pass away when the church of Jesus Christ is gathered? Somebody here is waiting on you. Somebody here needs you. There's a word from God that the preacher may say, or the Holy Spirit may speak to your soul, or maybe even touch your point of need in your life that you've been really contemplating or thinking about. It may draw you closer to Christ. It may draw you back home. Someone will come to Christ as a result of your witness. Or maybe even Pastor and Adam and I would be encouraged that you just showed up. That's encouragement. Fellowship. There's nothing more important than the gathered people of God that come together, praying together, sharing together, giving together, loving together, growing together, crying together, repenting together, worshiping together, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ together. And that's fellowship. And we ought to be a part of it every time we have it. Fellowship is more, of course, than just attending services. Fellowship gets deeper below the surface. That's why we break up our congregation into connect groups. smaller worship group or smaller Bible groups, groups that are caring and have nurturing fellowships where people can look one another in the eye and lift one another up and visit one another in the hospital and pray for one another when we're hurting. I mean, there was a time, and some of us remember growing up in churches, that if you had a problem, you dare not mention it in church. Back then, church was the very last place that you'd ever admit that you had a problem in your life. But biblical fellowship, such as the smaller groups we have, as well as church, you can share your hurt and you can share your pains and sorrows, and you can share about the struggles you're going through, the temptations that are haunting you or plaguing you, and be accountable to someone. Where someone, you can ask someone to actually help you and ask someone to pray for you. That's what fellowship's all about. A fellowship that grows deeper than more just mere friendships. It goes deeper than that. Friendship in the body of Christ. There's nothing like it in this world. There's love. There's an outrageous love in the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ that is overwhelmingly warm and very, very much needed. Fellowship. To be part of God's church. But not only that, there's another word I want to mention, another reason to belong, and that's authority. And we don't like to hear that word, authority. We don't want to be responsible or accountable to any kind of authority, especially if you're in your young 20s. Seems like that way anyway. But in the New Testament, there was authority in the local church. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you and give you instruction." And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 reads, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." And then later on in verse 17 it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you." The authority of the pastors in the church isn't to say, "Well, I think this carpet should be brown, that wall should be pink, that one should be blue." Instead, it's the authority of the Word of God. It's the proclamation and the call of sharing this Word. And you don't have to struggle with it. You don't have to, and the people know it, and the people understand it, because it's God's book, and God's Spirit. Any pastor that runs around demanding to be in charge, then I'll assure you that he's not in charge. But there's an authority within the body of Christ to be accountable to one another. That's why Pastor Adam and I, we wear these crosses when we preach God's Word. And that's simply to remind us to stay behind the cross of Christ and to preach the Word. Not to stand up here telling us stories about all we like and do and thinking how it needs to be done. But to preach the Word and stay behind the cross of Christ. And therefore we should belong. We should get ourselves under spiritual authorities. To not be under the spiritual authority or not be under the Word of God and the Church of God is to make yourself very vulnerable out there. To make yourself absolutely wide open to the temptation and spiritual problems that come along without the protective covering of spiritual covering, we're to partner together and to avoid these things. The preaching of the Word, the spiritual authority, is the reason you should be in church, to have a covering over you. It's like a rain, it's like an umbrella. If you don't have an umbrella, and if you go out in the storm, you're going to get wet. Not only the importance of belonging to church is number one, obedience. Number two, fellowship. Number three, authority. But number four is identity. You as a Christian and I are called Christian, and that means little Christ. We bear the name of Jesus Christ, and we are His body, and we are His bride. He's not ashamed for us to wear His name. The question is, are we ashamed to belong to His church? Are we ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ? I read about a lady years ago who came to church and she was deaf. She couldn't hear, much less see good. She was actually legally blind. And her friends asked her, they said, "Why don't you go to church every Sunday?" And they said, "You can't see, you can't hear. What really good does it do?" And so the woman thought about it for a moment and she said, "I just want the world to know whose side I'm on." And from time to time, we meet with the people of God. And when you do that, you let the world know and you let your neighbors know whose side you're on. That you're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me what people will be part of nowadays. The things they believe in, the things they join, they have a particular passion in an area, and that's okay. It really is. I mean, people are part of all kinds of organizations that they believe certain things. I'm part of the Kiwanis, and that believes in the children and lifting them up to be leaders in the community. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then belong to His church. Belong and be a part, a vital part, of His body. Number five is loyalty. That's a word we don't hear much nowadays, is loyalty. But loyalty is one of the most important lessons that you can show and teach your children. Because we don't hear much about loyalty today. Instead, we have parents that will open the car door, drop their children off, and go back home or go wherever they want to need to go to get errands done for at least an hour and a half, 2 hours. If we don't like attending, if we don't feel like going, if we don't feel like serving, there's no loyalty. So what happened to loyalty? We just don't think like that anymore, like we used to. And it grieves me that we don't think like that in today's times. Somebody needs my prayer. Somebody needs your encouragement. Somebody needs our witness. Somebody needs our faithfulness. Loyalty to Jesus Christ is an important factor. Next is ministry. Ministry. There are gifts which function in the local church. We're to live with an unselfish love, and the pastors of the church are to equip one another in the body of Christ to serve. And it grieves me when we don't see people who are in church to serve. They get in the church, but they don't really want to be part of the church. They just kind of want to sing, hear the word, and stay kind of on the outside perimeter and not really get involved. Maybe they've been hurt in the past. Maybe they're just too busy. Maybe they don't know really how to get inside to know the people in the church. But I do know this. I know some of you help prepare the meals on Wednesday nights in our kitchen for our family ministry to eat. And that's such a good ministry, a good way with our tummies, as well as your service. I know some of you in the past and in the present have helped with the flower gardens to help beautify our church, to make it welcoming as the seasons go by, and you see the beautiful flower gardens. When we come up here, a lot of times we'll see butterflies lighting on those flowers out there, and it just helps you to pause and reflect from your daily routine. It's beautiful. I know some of you helped us mow in the past to beautify our lawns, to keep the stickers down. And I know some of you still do help us mow. Some of you have provided meals to those who are coming home from the hospital, those who just need a little bit of time to recuperate, and so you've helped provide meals for them. And some of you have provided lunch after funerals we've had up here for those that have lost a loved one. I know many of you have spent long hours here up into the night in what you do, and sometimes most of your day serving in some area or a particular ministry or a project. That's what church is about, is serving and loving your people here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 30, Paul writes about Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus was mentioned by Paul because Paul was really impressed about him, because he nearly died serving the Lord because of his faithfulness to God and what he loved to do. And we think sometimes, you know, we're too tired to serve, or I can't be there, I can't take this assignment, and I sure don't want that responsibility. We need to pray, God, help us to learn to pour out our lives into the service of Jesus Christ. And not to be selfish with our own, but to pour it out. And finally, there's witness. Witness. When we're together as Christians of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church, our witness is strengthened. Did you know that when people know you're a member of this church, then that's a witness? Maybe not this particular church, but just a church in general that you choose to become part of. The credibility of the church, the message of the church that it brings. For most of us, we've always worshiped in church, and I'm talking about buildings, buildings that we come to like this and worship in. But we've all worshiped in a church that somebody else has built. And please understand, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy worshiping in a place where there's heat or cool. But in my experience of growing up, Texas Baptist Church, which is now called Countryside Baptist Church, was wonderful. But when I grew up there, somebody else built it. But yet I was able to go there to enjoy the blessings of God. Especially because I met my wife Kisha there. I can still recall some of the colorful characteristics of some of the saints there. Whistling Joe Cotner, that had the ability to whistle in two tones at once. Merwin Streisner, the song director there. Matter of fact, his daughter is here today, Debbie. The guy could belt out a song and out-sing any choir behind him in a heartbeat. He had a boisterous voice for Jesus, and he let it ring throughout. What a great man of God that man was. And I still remember him to this day. There's a few saints there today. I've told you in messages past about the cookie and Kool-Aid ministry, those who labored with the children there when I was a child, and how kindness was shown to me. Then there was Eastwood Baptist Church. It was wonderful. I enjoyed it. Matter of fact, that's where God brought Jim and Jan Murray into Kisha in my life as encouragers, as friendships, as a couple who love God and each other as an example to us. All the churches that I've attended and served in, the buildings were already there to worship, to serve, to learn, and to love. And we're here today worshiping at Prayer of Faith. And what I'm simply saying is that all of us are blessed to be here because somebody was committed. Somebody was called. Somebody chose to say, let the church be the church. And now this is our time. Now this time to belong to God's church. And it takes people who are willing to be on the firing line, to be there and to be committed to the glory of God. Will you get upset at times here? Probably. Will you feel loved here? Definitely. Church is a learning lab for Jesus Christ. To attend God's church, to consistently laugh together. Yes, there'll be some times we'll cry together. To pray together. To grow in love together. To help those who are in the world around us, those we see every day, perhaps in some way to help change their story. This morning, if I could have you stand with me, close your eyes, every eye closed. The first and foremost thing in belonging to God's church is His love for the Savior. If you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to cleanse you of your sins, to forgive you, and to make you a new creation in Him, you can do that today. All you do is just simply ask Him to forgive you, to cleanse you, and to make you one of His. With your heart, not with your head. I can lead you in a sinner's prayer, but so many times people have said that word for word and thought that's all it is. But it goes beyond that. It's believing in your heart. If you need help with that, we'd love to help you with that today. If you have difficulty in what to say to Christ, to come to Him, it's not hard at all. But if you'd like to receive Christ today, we'd ask you to come up today, and we'll help you with that. But it goes beyond more than that as well. because we are a church. And as a church, we're a gathered body of believers that love each other and that pray for each other, and protect each other, and share with each other, and love with each other. If you today would like prayer for anything in your life, whether healing that you need physically, whether strengthening emotionally, if you need comfort of your heart, I ask that you would just come up here today, not to embarrass you, because we're going to have the church come up with you and pray as well. If you have family members you're concerned about, if you have things in your life that you need decisions for, whatever it is in your life, if you need that this morning, I would ask you to come up today right now, out of your seat and right up here so we could pray for you. Because we are your church, and this is God's church. Anybody need prayer today? Okay, now I'm going to make it easy on you. I'm going to ask for those of you that can, please come up and let's pray for these ones that have asked prayer in their life. I'm not going to lead you in it. I'm going to let you pray for them the way that you would like to. It could be a hug. It could be a word. It could be a pat on the arm. Whatever it is in your heart that the Spirit's leading you, come up to minister to your church members. As you're praying for them, I'm going to pray for us all. Father, we thank you for your loving mercy, for your kind spirit, and the gentleness that you show in our lives. Please, as your children are praying over each other, we ask that you would hear their prayers as we boldly approach your throne of grace. Through the power we have through your Son, who Jesus Christ, who forgave us of our sins, cleansing us to make us worthy, and that you see through Christ, you see us. You see a clean vessel coming before you. Father, I pray for our church as we begin ministering to one another, that we get up out of our seats, our comfort area, and we see people that need prayer, that request prayer, because life is hard. Life is difficult. And we don't have it all together here. We have difficulties sometimes, and we need that encouragement. And that tangible encouragement comes through your people. You speak through people. You work through people. You heal through people. You minister to people. And Father, we ask as the prayers are being said this morning, that you would honor them, that you would bless them, and multiply them in their lives. I know there's others here that are requesting prayer that perhaps were too scared to come up. Father, show them the boldness they need to say, I need prayer. Pray for me. Pray for me. Strengthen me, Father. Let us have this comfort with each other as your church. And not just be crowd-driven, but be individual-driven through your love. To let them see your power work as in the early church. Great things happen among its members. Miracles, blessings, sharing, kindness, and all of those things that we just read in your word this morning. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us today as we go from here. Strengthen us in the coming week. Help us to face a world that is dark and that is lonely, that we may be lights, that we may help and change the lives of others. Work through us and in us as your vessels. We ask for cleansing, Father. As a pastor, Father, I ask for cleansing of myself. I ask for a cleansing of our church members, of those who are willing to go out and accomplish your mission. Cleanse us, O Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Help us to learn to reach to those in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, the power that you've given us through the Trinity. And help us to be lights to them. Help us to meet their needs. Help us to guide their paths. Help us to help them understand your voice and hearing you. Because you are a good Father. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and all he has done for us to provide a way into you. Help us to be the church that you want, belonging to your church, Father. And we thank you and ask these things in your name. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.